I'm glad that you've chosen to listen to our messages from the Presbyterian Church of Barnet. I'm Howard Gaston, the pastor, and I believe that God's Spirit will speak to you during this time.
Please pray with me. Holy Father, we thank you for the gifts that you have given us, the fruits of our labor that we now give back to you for the furtherance of your gospel into the lives of this congregation and into the world. Father, we lift up these gifts. We ask that you would bless them and bless the work of your servants. Amen. You may seat it. Thanks, boys. This week's scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. I will be reading out of the Bibles that should be in your bulletin if you want to follow along. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord the teaching that I passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took a piece of bread, gave thanks to God, broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me." That means that every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen.
In my home church growing up, it was probably much a church the size of this, but they had done some reconstruction, and it was during the 70s, so they lowered the roof and did some plastering work and made it very different. And one of the things that it did in that sanctuary was on the day of communion, you walked in the door, and for some reason, the way it was designed, the whole room smelled like grape juice. I mean, you just walked in and you... And it was just this, for me at least, when it was one of my favorite smells. Also, the church smelled like hardtack candy because they made it at Christmas time, and that flavor or a smell stayed along all year round. But that smell of grape juice on Communion Sunday just was this kind of real comforting, like, oh, we're having communion today. And I loved walking into a church. And as a matter of fact, every time I have communion that's set up in any church I've ever served or been in, the first thing I do when I walk into the sanctuary is, no grape juice. But it's just that was that one place, that memory. Communion that we have reminds us of some very powerful aspects of our faith. And Nick certainly showed us one of those. And I think that's a powerful statement, that our communion service time is the time to remember that what Christ has done for us through his death. By dying for us, we have salvation. But there's another aspect of communion that I want us to focus on a little bit that goes back to what Paul said to the Corinthians when he was talking about communion. Now, some context in that story that Nick read for us is that the Corinthians weren't doing communion properly. Now, kind of stop back and think, how can you not do communion properly? It's a piece of bread, it's a cup of juice. Well, for the early church, it was a lot more involved than that. It was a whole meal. It was a time in which the church gathered together, had this kind of love feast, and then they had the communion part where they took the bread and the cup and shared it with each other. But they were becoming very selfish. The affluent people of the community who didn't have to work all day, they would show up early in the afternoon, is kind of when they had it. They would get together, start eating, start having, their feast, and then have communion. And then those, the Roman slaves and the other, poor people of the community would come after they could work, and it would be all gone. There wouldn't be anything left for them. And Paul is saying, that's not right. Because communion not only is a time for us to remember what Christ has done for us, but also communion is a reminder about who we now are to be. Communion is about proclaiming the death of Jesus until he comes. Now that doesn't sound real cheery. Us talking about Jesus dying every time we have communion. I'd rather have that idea. It's a comfort. It reminds me of whose I am. But communion also has this sense of calling about who we are to be in this world. To proclaim the death of Jesus. Now that means more than just going around to people saying, Jesus died, you know. But it's about that rationale about why did Jesus die? What did Jesus do in that death? And as we think about that and about these elements, we have to remember that Christ voluntarily went to the cross. He gave himself for God's people. And so when we take communion, the big message, the proclamation of Jesus' death is just that. We are the body of Christ. We are now called to give of ourselves to the world. To be willing to sacrifice our comfort, sacrifice our needs, sacrifice what we want God to give us for other people. And in a way, to die ourselves for the world, just as Christ died for the world. Now, that's a pretty heavy calling when you think about it. You know, because I don't want to leave here dying. That's not why, you know, I come to church. I come to church to get warm and fuzzy and feel good about the coming week. And now you're telling me I got to die? Put to death myself for other people? Well, yeah, that's kind of what we're here today about. Any Sunday. I want you just to stop and think of probably the most influential person in your Christian life. Not just in life in general, but somebody who really influenced your life as a Christian. Got any names? Just shout out a first name.
Howard Borden.
Anybody else?
Elaine.
What?
Grace and Charlie.
Yeah, Grace, Charlie. Gibbs is one of the people I think of. Now, keep in mind those people that you talked about. Were they takers or were they givers? Did they give of themselves to you in ways that you have grown from? Or were they people that when you met them, they took something from them. They wanted something from you, whether it was laughter or a sense of peace or something else. I venture to say all the people that have helped us grow were people who gave. There's a Christian comedian, you can look him up on YouTube or on stuff, it's called, now I did it. I want to say Matthew Jr., but I think that's wrong. Michael Jr. It's Michael Jr. And I don't know what his last name is, but he just refers to himself as Michael Jr. And he's a Christian comedian, goes to all these big churches and colleges and does his routine. But he was on a TED Talk that I saw one time. And in that TED Talk, he talked about a major shift that happened in his comedic career. He said all along, and as a comedian, even and he was a Christian all along, he says, I always was trying to figure out how I could get from the audience laughter. How could I get you to laugh with me or at me? And that's, you know, he thought that's what a comedian does. Gets the audience to laugh. And he said one day as he was praying, he realized, what if I turned that around? What if I ask myself, what can I give to the audience that will help them to laugh? He says, now that's a minor little shift, asking for the same result, but he said, that minor little shift in my life was a major change. I realize now I need to give to the audience rather than wanting to take from them. He said, and it affected me in all areas of my life. After that show that night, I came out, and there were people outside, and they wanted autographs and wanted to talk to me. And he says, and I stood there at the door, and I was talking to folks, and I noticed across the street there was a homeless guy laying on the sidewalk just sitting there watching us. And it occurred to me, what if I gave him something to laugh about? And so he walked across that street, sat down next to that homeless guy, and started telling jokes. And that homeless guy laughed. He had a sense of joy that day. And he said, that changed everything for me. And so when we come to communion, a lot of us certainly will come and want something in return, a feeling, a smell, a reminder. And that's okay. But we also need to remember, what am I going to give as I come? Because when we do communion, you know, Jesus' words were pretty profound. He did not say, this is my body. It's pretty beautiful, pretty strong. You get some comfort from that. He didn't say, this is my blood. It's holy. It will give you life. He didn't say in a vein of what you are going to get, but he reminds us when he says, this is my body. I'm going to have it broken for you. This is my blood. I'm going to let it be shed for you and for all your sins. And so as we come to communion today, I want you to think about, yeah, what are you going to receive? But in turn, what are you going to give? Because as followers of Jesus Christ, as people who say that we believe in Christ, but also are called to follow Christ, it means, how am I going to proclaim the death of Jesus when I walk out this place? How am I going to give to those around me in my words, in my actions, in my prayers? Now today, as we have communion and as you literally come up, we'll have two elders on each side, and we'll ask you to come up the center aisle, take the bread and cup, and take, you know, you can eat it and drink the bread and cup right here. You don't have to take it back to your seats. And, you know, reflect on that as we celebrate communion, because I want you to come forward as you are following Christ, receive the communion, but also remind yourself, what are you going to give in Christ's name? Would you pray with me? Almighty Christ, we come before you now and ask that you will bless this cup and this bread that has been broken for you and has been shed for us, so that we might have life, that we might have salvation, that we might have a vision and mission to be your people, your body in this world. And in the same way, be willing to be broken and shed for the world around us. Guide us, Lord, with our thoughts and our prayers today as we receive this gift, but also as we give this gift to the world. We pray this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Well, I hope these messages have been a blessing to you for your life. And if you need any more assistance, be sure to contact the Presbyterian Church of Barnet in Vermont. Thank you.